Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about challenges to knowing and hearing from God. Last week, we started talking about the effect of our individual temperaments, strengths, and weaknesses. We spent a lot of time talking about the soul in general in relationship to the spirit and the body, especially how God gave you the soul that he wanted you to have. We are to embrace that decision that he made on our behalf, but not depend on our soul or hide behind it. We aren't to build our identity on our temperament strengths, nor fight based on our temperament weaknesses. We take them into account. We understand how our temperament functions, our soul functions in the supernatural realm, and we behave accordingly. Those things that need to be dealt with in the soulical realm as we relate to relationships, ourselves, what's going on, how we approach things, we understand that our temperament influences all these things, our perceptions, our history, our beliefs. But we hopefully have concluded that our temperament does not interfere with our spiritual, totally separate things, and function in the realm in which they dwell. Who you are as a spirit being functions in the spirit and has authority over the supernatural realm and the natural realm. You. That's you right now if you've been born again. If you've been born of the Spirit, you have, by your Spirit, authority over the supernatural realm and the natural realm. This is why understanding and embracing the concept of your supernatural gifts leads us into areas of exercising our true nature as a spirit. We run into a lot of our own misbeliefs, and very much so our expectations and the expectations of others. So let's start with reminding ourselves again of our own temperaments and our expectations of how we perceive what's going on in the supernatural realm. Well, let's back up even farther. When we talk about gifts, you know, there's a list of 9 by Paul, and there's certain scattered references to exercising the gifts, ministry gifts, and that's probably not a really good or helpful description of what those characteristics are, because we have this idea that God gives you something a tool, for instance, and you are to learn how to use it. When really it's something that came with your soul, and it's a characteristic of how your senses, your solical senses, function as a part of your solical strengths and weaknesses. Now, they aren't basically what others have done historically and throughout scriptures is described something that is happening, described some consistent expressions of God moving through individuals. So when we see Paul referring to these ministry gifts and other places as well, we see him describing what's happening. That people who are learning to know God and receive his life are in turn expressing that life in these ways in to some degree or another consistently. In other words, it was not a one-time thing, a one-person thing, and I don't believe he meant these nine things sum up the way God's Spirit flowing through us is expressed. When Jesus said that you shall do greater than, that you and I shall do greater than he did because he goes to the Father, we haven't touched what he did. Not talking about his task as the lamb that was slain, but as far as functioning as a spiritual being with supernatural powers, basically. What he did in healing, in foreknowledge, in the miracles that he didn't do those because he was the Son of God. He did those because he knew his Father. He was trained by his Father. And his Father's life, the life of God, eternal life, was flowing through him and came out as an expression of life. That life was expressed so variously. He never did the same thing twice. And that's really our pattern. That's what we are to look at, is every situation is different. And the pattern that we are to follow is that he heard what his Father was saying. He saw what his Father was doing. He learned from the Father and depended on the Father. And that's our lesson, to learn to depend on the Father just as the Son did. Now, we have a tendency to like to go back and look at his actions and try to fit those actions into nice, neat categories. Oh, here's various ways he healed people. Here's various ways he cast out devils. Here's various ways he did other miracles. Solved, you know, had words of wisdom, had relationship challenge solutions. And we want to categorize what he did. And that's a normal desire, because we want to try to understand it with our mind. But what that really does is keeps us from just accepting that however it comes out, when we are receiving God's life, if the more we can just be out of the way and allow that life to flow through, it will have the desired results. There are even times when we think we're ministering in one way and it's received in a totally different way. And that's fine. Because the final goal is for God to minister to his people, for him to share his life, his love, in whatever way he chooses. He just lets us participate in what he's doing. So we want to accept, you know, be glad we have examples of how other people have experienced the supernatural in their lives and how some of it was written down. But I love the verse that says, tried to write down everything that Jesus did, there would not be enough books to contain it all. So we have just the smallest glimpse into what one man did, depending on his father. And that's what his goal is, was and is for us, that we would learn to depend on our Father. Now, he doesn't need your help to do what he wants to do in people's lives. He doesn't need anybody's help. He lets us participate in what he's already doing. Now, spiritually, you already are. You are already fully participating in everything he's doing in your neck of the woods, for instance. But we want to be consciously aware and participating, because part of that awareness reveals our wounds, where we're believing lies, and where our soul has yet to be freed from our history, our own belief systems. And through that process, this is why we want to embrace the supernatural gifts, because that they give us an in. They give us a reason to pursue understanding the supernatural realm. One of the problems we have is it's an unknown, and in many respects, we are told to not go there. We are told to, or that it is only for certain people. We're told that we have these gifts and we can learn to minister in them. But that's as far as we are to go as far as exercising authority in and over the supernatural realm. Because again, there are beings. There are living beings who live in the supernatural realm, specifically the demons, Satan and his little buddies, and angels. And we're very often taught, don't talk to demons, and if you talk to angels, you have no authority over them. And we have a real confusing relationship with these beings, and God does not want us to be ignorant. And how we learn is by experience. There have been so few to be willing to go there with God, who are willing to sign up for that training, that many of us who do go pursue that line, that opportunity, are making inroads for the first time. Clearly not the first time in mankind, but for for what's being able to be shared. In other words, we, unfortunately, because of the way history is shared, very little is passed from one generation to another. Many believers over time, over the centuries, have known God far beyond our own experience and have exercised authority the way we're talking about here with the angels and demons and over the angels and demons, over that supernatural realm. And yet we haven't had the opportunity to learn from them. And so we start over at square one. But we can embrace that concept. And God, when you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And we deal with any fears or concerns that we have, because that's why he wants you to do it, so that you will deal with your fears and your concerns. One of the big fears is about being deceived or being vulnerable, being attacked, or overstepping our authority. And these are all areas that God knows we experience in our soul. The thing is he wants to deal with us about them, free us from those wounds, and help us grow up for our soul to be connected to our spirit as it was created to be. So we understand in many respects we're going to be doing our own training solo, just us and him. And we each need to accept that and embrace that. And yet he gives us what we need when we need it, whether it's through other people or right, that eternal life right from him. But we overcome our needs and desires that he has given us, not by saying, well, they don't exist. Oh, I need to understand, for instance, or I need to feel like, you know, feel safe, which are aspects of our soul, feeling and believing. Instead, we say, Lord, you know, I need encouragement in this area, and I'm asking you to give me encouragement in this area. But if you don't, I'm still going to do it. Obviously, this takes clarity in being able to hear his voice. And so he arranges whatever circumstances are necessary for us to gain that confidence that we're hearing his voice clearly. And remember, this is not about winning or losing. This is not about you attaining some level or maturing spiritually. Spiritually, right now, you are as mature as you're ever going to get, because you're already receiving in your spirit eternal life right now. Now, your soul is a different matter, and that's where we live. What you're trying to listen with now, how you're trying to figure out how you're going to apply this, where does this fit in for you? Those are all aspects of your soul. And God wanted you to be asking the very questions you're asking, experiencing the doubt, the concern, the excitement that you're experiencing, because he gave you the soul that you have. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the soul he gave you. But there's nothing particularly glorious about it either. It is something he gave you to have, just as he gave you the body that he wanted you to have through your parents. So we understand that our soul is part of the battlefield, and that's about it. Our focus is on depending on God to receive eternal life. And that's his purpose in you. Again, he doesn't need your help in doing what he's going to do in your community, in this world. You know, whether it's political or economic or even down to your family issue. When we understand how much he loves us, and you have to understand it by experience. A lot of times that comes over time, that we absorb that by God proving himself faithful, loving, kind. There are two voices that speak to the sheep, the shepherd and the butcher. So many of us are so much more familiar with the butcher's voice that tears down and condemns and criticizes, that when we hear the shepherd's voice, we don't even know what to do with it. And this is why we emphasize spending tons of time with the shepherd, hearing his voice, hearing his encouragement, and how much he cares for us, that he knows what we need, when we need it, and is providing it. We don't have to talk him into looking out for us. He's plenty big enough that he can take care of every single one of us at every moment of the day, in every circumstance we find ourselves, that he has crafted for us. So let's pick back up where we left off last week, looking at the aspects of our soul and how we face the challenges in the supernatural realm as we start thinking about becoming comfortable functioning as a spirit being exercising authority in and over the supernatural realm. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And again, if you have a different teaching, if you understand it different, that's fine. There is certainly more than one way to approach the subject. The bottom line I look at is, does what you believe bring you into greater dependence on God alone? If what you believe puts the challenge back on you, that you have to measure up, you have to figure something out, you have to achieve some level or meet some standard, that's strengthening the soul over the spirit rather than depending on the spirit, freeing the soul. Your soul is not meant to carry the load. Your soul is meant to be cradled by the spirit. Your soul is valuable and beautiful, but it was never meant to and can't provide life. Only your spirit that has received eternal life provides life to your soul and your body. Now, your soul has never successfully met your needs. But it has tried really, really, really hard. And for in a variety of expressions, it is not going to give up trying easily. And it is likely that it will be a lifelong process that each one of us, as individuals, through the spirit life in us and through us, our soul is set free, mind, will, and emotions, to receive our needs being met through spirit life alone. Now, we're, each one of us is in a different place, but God knows He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for your training, and He knows what you truly look like as a spirit being with a soul who lives in a body. So your training, your pathway is going to be different than anybody else's. So we can encourage one another. Keep going. Keep listening. Keep depending. But we can't evaluate how we're doing compared to someone else. You know, and that's something we all want to know. How are we doing? Are we on the right track? Only God can answer that. And He wants to. He knows we need encouragement. He knows we need to know how we're doing if we're on the right track. And so He tells us. He lets us know how we're doing. We ask. So we'll look at our mind, which is what we think, what we believe, our will, what we choose to do, and our emotions, what we feel, in light of clarifying the difference between our soul and our spirit. So one of our goals, as we learn to move in the supernatural gifts, is to be able to overcome that interference of our soul and recognize as truth, reality, what is going on in the spirit realm. God puts us in situations in the supernatural realm so we can exercise spiritual authority. So, in our mind, what we think, believe, over time, the strength or weakness of our mind will interfere less and less with the expression of our true spirit nature. Now, when we're talking about mind, will, and emotions, we all have a mind, will, and emotions. That's, we all have that. But we have them in varying degrees. A thinking person, a high power mind person, is no more able to move in the gifts than a less intellectual believer. In fact, it is often the childlike believer who is willing to let the Lord move without having to understand everything that He's doing. But again, the Lord deals with each of us individually. So though it is helpful to research what He is doing in others' lives and try to understand and exercise our mind, the final test for each of us as individuals is, does it work for me? A key to remember is that God gives us understanding and wisdom despite our temperament, not because of it. So don't rely on your mind. to exercise the gifts. Don't let your mind be a stumbling block either. The gifts being exercised will be an expression of eternal life. So next week we'll start talking about the will, what we choose to do. If you've got any questions, feel free to drop me a line at Diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. It's always good to hear from you. Until then, until next week, hope you've enjoyed the show. Have a good weekend. This is Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio.